in times of real trouble, elected officials rise to the occasion.
The only way to build a thriving economy is to set and enforce firm rules of the world.
They did not do enough. There was not a whole lot of stimulus of actual infrastructure.
Is hyperinflation a successful outcome of what they're trying to do?
Just realize that these people don't know what's going on.
The strong rights theory we turn to today is libertarianism.
You don't have to use fiscal stimulus or monetary stimulus. There is a third way.
We don't know how other people should live, and you cannot organize a society.
The case for the free market, the case for liberty, and the case against statism.
Welcome, everybody, to the Christians Mullen Show on an October 29th, 2013. I am really excited to take on this topic today that I've been asked by a couple of my close friends to at least have a little monologue about. It might not be a full half hour, but I really find this extremely important, especially with my generation of college students and at least close to going into college students from high school or current college students or people outside of college that are in the, the 18 to like 27, around that kind of decade range. That is a huge misunderstanding of how there's an important distinction that needs to be made. And the topic I want to be talking about is why the youth, when I mean youth, I mean the age group I just discussed, why the youth should hate politics but understand government. And that's a very important distinction to make. Again, most people equate politics to government, and it's simply not. There is a big fundamental theoretical difference in the idea of methodology of understanding each one. And so first off, why hate politics? I mean, isn't it a civil duty? Isn't it patriotic? First of all, simply, politics is an idiotic, myopic, and disillusioned practice that divides and entraps society over minute disagreements. It's a complete waste of time. I mean, just look at our political system. When is the last time the Republicans and Democrats disagreed on anything fundamental except playing political games such as, this is really the extent of a true disagreement in Washington, is the Democrats wanting to increase spending even more and the Republicans wanting to decrease the already increase. So, it's not even like the Democrats want to increase and the Republicans want to decrease funding to something. The Republicans only want to decrease or not to increase that exponentially as the Democrats do. So say we spend, $5 on Social Security. The argument in Washington is the Democrats say we should spend $10 next year, and the Republicans say we should only spend $9. You're still increasing it by almost 100% in both cases. But that is the big difference. That is the gigantic disagreement in Washington. And it is ridiculous in itself to believe that one party, if there's only two choices, that one party is perfect and the other one is completely destructive. It's completely naive. I mean, I understand you are born into a world where that is the system and they make it out to be this great choice and this great civil duty as the state always does. But if you really question, what differences do they have? They have the same exact view as far as economics goes and what they're doing in oppression and what starts a depression. They have the same ideas on war, the same ideas on welfare funding. They have the same ideas on coercion and the validity of coercion. And really, what do you get from debating politics? You lose your friends, and most importantly, you lose your happiness in exchange for debating a system that's inherently broken. I mean, really, what do you really get by memorizing 7,000 statistics about the unemployment rates under Obama and Bush? I mean, if you still believe in the game that they're that different, I mean, just because they have a letter in front of their name. What do you really get? If you tell someone that doesn't care about politics whatsoever, all of these statistics, what do they get? Sure, they might understand unemployment rates that are, a lie anyway. But they've lost significant amount of time. They could be playing video games or whatever they want to do to be happy, right? You're taking happiness away from them. There is another method that is far more important that I will get into. But first off, let me tell you my personal experience with politics. Because I was in there, if you get into politics at all, you're going to get involved and you're going to play the game for a little bit. It's very unique for someone to look at politics for the first time and get involved with it, but also not fall into the party game, right? My experience was I was always a conservative, so I haven't flipped the aisle. Well, I mean, I haven't flipped the aisle on anything except, you know, war, politics. Well, I haven't went to being a liberal authoritarian, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But, I mean, I watched Glenn Beck when I was younger from, like, 2009 as his start on Fox News, and I got into all the fear-mongering, the alarmist, belief system. And memorized all those wonderful statistics of why every Republican... Well, actually, I give more credit to myself because Glenn Beck never really was a Republican. He was more of the principles. So I can at least... I never was, like, a Republican. I always was... I'm a conservative. I think the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats. So I wasn't that bad, but I still played into the game. I was still, you know, believing in the conservative movement. I believed the Tea Party. You know, I did all of that. And, I mean, there was funding that went in. There's, you know, millions... As I said last podcast, there's millions of dollars that go into this every single year. And nothing changes. We had, you know, if you were a conservative, obviously I'm not anymore, but if I was a conservative in 2010, the midterms, you'd be stoked. I mean, they'd be the biggest landslide in history for one party, right? And what happened, really, out of all of that, that's probably the most you're ever going to get as far as a one election, a change in ideology. What did you get? Possibly two or three who weren't complete, heartless, lacking in all principle people. I mean, you could argue, you know, maybe Rand Paul, maybe, and this is even a stretch, Ted Cruz. And Rand Paul is maybe the only person who really is, I'd be at least okay with as far as a Republican. But, I mean, he's still against the drug war. I mean, he's still for the war on drugs. I mean, so it's a complete waste of time. You get nothing out of it. It's just, you lose tons of happiness out of it, and it doesn't affect you. It really doesn't. The battling between politics does not affect you. What does affect you is government in general. So this is why you need to understand government. Not play the political games, but overwhelmingly understand government. And I'll explain why at the end. First off, the government is involved in every possible second of your life. Every possible second. And the common, you know, rebuttal I get as soon as I say that is, I don't have any time for that. This is your life. If they are involved in every second, if you can see that it infects your life and your well-being. It affects if you're employed or unemployed. It affects everything. So you do have time. What you're saying you don't have time for is politics, which I completely agree with you, brother. You do not have time for that useless game. But let's take a couple of examples. First off, any monetary transaction you make, that means, you know, any transaction where you spend dollars to buy something or, you know, anything like that, that's not barter, right? If you're not trading apples for oranges and you actually go to a store and buy anything, the top of that paper says Federal Reserve Note. So everything that you buy is involved, obviously, with the Federal Reserve. So understand the Federal Reserve. Understand what it does. Understand that it affects, that it controls the money supply, that it controls the interest rate. The interest rates in borrowing and lending. And understand at least the minimum of what it does and how it can affect you and what you would think the outcome should be now that you know that dollar can change everything. If the Fed decides to inflate greatly, I mean, greater than it already is, you can have massive inflation and then all of a sudden your $5 to buy a thing at McDonald's costs $15. So that is extremely important. The second thing involving the money is depressions. And what happens with a depression in an individual? Unemployment. If you were a massive unemployed, if you were one of the 15-16% in 2008-2009 that was unemployed, you need to understand why. You need to understand that the Fed creates depressions through the money supply, through an influx of credit. Again, I can do a whole episode on Austrian business cycle theory, but that is what it is, Austrian business cycle theory. Read up on that. Read Rothbard's Great Depression. Murray Rothbard's America's Great Depression. For the first 30 pages, he tells you a pretty detailed explanation and reasoning behind the Austrian business cycle and then goes into evidence. So, and that's pretty extreme, right? I wouldn't ask you as a normal individual to get interested in reading advanced economic theory, but at least understand what the capacity can do and how it affects your life. Because that's what gets the people, is how it directly affects you. Then you start to care, right? Politics doesn't affect you. Debating if we should increase it by 80% or 100% doesn't affect you. What does affect you is the overwhelming majority of the government and what it can do. A second thing is any purchase. Any purchase, anything you buy, is affected by some sort of regulation, right? Regulation dictates, just in the commercial markets, what you can buy and what you can't buy. If a new regulation comes out and says that you can't buy this washer and this washer instead, that affects you. I would ask you to go to your kitchen and look at all the appliances and see how many appliances are affected by regulation. Every single thing is affected by regulation. There are some obstacles that the government puts in that limit you from your choice. Look at your stove, look at your oven, look at your microwave, look at your blender, look at your sink, look at your anything. It's all affected by regulation. Look how look how many inches are between, if you have like one of those staircases with the bars on the side, look how many inches are in between each one of those bars. That's a regulation. That's a part of the housing code. So everything as far as your purchases is affected by regulation. And understand what regulation can do on a broad level. And secondly with regulation is if you're in college or you're in high school right now, or if you're in your 20s and you're kind of questioning what you want to do with your life, and say you decide you want to be an entrepreneur or a small business owner, regulation is going to pay a huge, huge amount on what you can do and what you can't do. It's going to be massively costly. So it asks you to understand the debate between regulation on certain, if you should increase it by this much or increase it by this much, by the two-party system. But understand what regulation does and how it affects your entrepreneurs. Because if you want to be a small businessman, a regulation is going to be one of the biggest costs you have as far as one individual sector. And I mean, this is kind of a more understood level, but simply law, right? Government law. It dictates what you can and can't do. Now, we all understand, in general, what the main laws are. You can't murder, you can't steal, whatever, whatever. Well, at least if you're not the government, right? But more is, we kind of had this benevolent idea of government that we would believe that, yeah, so we have certain values as people, as a society, and they're all, reflected in law. So you may believe that, you can do certain things, because it makes sense, it's consistent with property rights. But some things you cannot, right? This isn't your property, but if you think about like what Adam versus the Man did, you guys, if he's a YouTube channel, if you don't know who he is, he went and, I kind of disagree with his method, but he went to the Jefferson Memorial and started dancing with a couple other people. He was just dancing at the Jefferson Memorial and he was arrested. You probably didn't know that dancing in front of a monument is illegal, but it is. It really wasn't a law. It was a court decision about 2 years ago from a woman who danced and you need to understand in a broad scope what you can and cannot do, because consistency is not the government's idea unless it's on the use of force. So you need to understand the law in general, because certain things you might think are harmless and actually are harmless actually are illegal, and you might want to understand that so you don't get into a right box that we call a prison. And the most important thing is taxation. Taxation. The government takes roughly 50% of a middle income and average American after taxes from the federal, state, and local level. So if you combine all those up, you're going to get somewhere around 50%. If you don't care for that, I mean, that's half of your entire money you earned, half of it. So understand at least where it's going, why it goes there, or if you don't even want to take time to understand why or where, at least understand if you believe it's justified for it to be taken from you. In your opinion, should they be able to take half of your money? At least understand that for yourself, because I mean, it's half of your money. You should at least have an opinion on that. If someone else came and stole half of your money, you'd care a hell of a lot where it went and why he took it. But when it's the government, we kind of shut it off because it's status quo. Understand that. Refuse to treat it as it's some status quo that can't be challenged, because it can. Understand why and if. There has to be a principle behind everything you do. And if you understand the principle of if you think it should be or if you don't, then believe that. That you need to know that as a citizen, because it's half of your money. And it's going to get a lot larger. The next thing I want to talk about is the future. When I mean the future, I mean my generation and the next. So 90s and, you know, so 90s, late 80s, 90s, and the 2000s, the children that are born in the 2000s. You have to understand the impact of government in our lives, or in the future of our children's lives. Really quickly, the average debt that a child is born into, and we're just talking about, we're not talking about the total debt, we're just talking about the national debt of the United States. Roughly $53,000 is automatically owed by you as a citizen. So at some point in your life, that's going to have to be extracted, and it's probably going to get a lot higher. But the great thing about that, guys, is that's only the national debt. If you look at the U.S. total debt, it's up to $189,000. $189,000. And this is where it gets scary. If you take all the estimated future unfunded debt liability, so all the debt we've accumulated and that we're going to accumulate and that we haven't paid off yet, so all the unpaid liabilities we have, if you take all of that and then the estimated rate of increase, a reasonable estimate for how much you're going to be, that you owe, is $398,000 for one person. Every man, woman, and child has to pay that. So, I mean, you should at least understand why it's that high, and if it should be that high, and if you think it should be necessary. Form an opinion on, this is where I tell everyone, is, you know, if you're, what gets people opinionated about things is how it affects them. So now that you know that's how much you owe, you didn't spend that money, but understand that affects you, and decide for yourself if it's worth it or not worth it, if it's moral or if it's not moral, and decide that for yourself and understand that and have some opinion on that. Not, you know, which party's better than the political games, but understand as a principle if that's all okay with you. If it's not, you have to try to make some change of it, because that's a lot of money that you owe automatically. And by far, the most influential topic that kind of awakens college students is student loans and college tuition rates. The average student loan debt, so I mean, and this is just for undergraduate, so if you're going for a four-year degree, the average student loan debt is $26,600, right? So you might be saying, well, how does that relate to government, right? Well, in the 1950s, 1951, the government started securing and backing student loans. They started insuring student loans. And since then, college tuition on all levels has skyrocketed. And the simple question you have to ask is, why is college, a service just like any other service, going way up when the productivity of, you know, you can buy online books now, you can go to school online, you can do all these things. Why is it so high? Because, like, in any other service, look at TVs or any other service that's not inflected by the government. Look at how the prices have gone down. I mean, you look at a phone, right? If you bought a $200 phone, what, like 10 years ago? What did you get, really? Contacts and, you know, a list of numbers to type in. You spend $200 now. You have the internet, you have a GPS, you have social networks, you have texting, you have messaging, you have email, you have, you know, various other apps, you have games. So why is it going up? And it's a simple economic equation. Or it's not really, I don't like saying equation, it's more of a logical understanding. If the government is going to insure loans, then why wouldn't you raise prices? If you know that the demand isn't going to fall, right? If you're a college and you know that if you raise your prices twofold, the government will still insure loans to the students to be able to go at that price, why wouldn't you raise them? You're going to make more money. You are responding to incentives. It's a general praxeological law. So shouldn't you care at least about that? That's affecting how much debt you're going into to just get a general education that most likely you could get by yourself online with the unlimited amount of education you can get online. The unlimited amount of resources, in my opinion, I mean, this is a side note, but in my opinion, college should be obsolete by now. You don't need college to learn it. I mean, I've learned Austrian economics and various other deep philosophy without paying a cent. I mean, I've paid some for seminars and going to things like that, but that's not college. And why? Because the resources are there. They're open. The internet is a gigantic marketplace where you can get things for extremely low costs. And the only reason you need to go to college is not because the education is better. It's not like you get a great education from college compared to what you could get on by yourself for such a lower price. I'm not saying you don't get a decent education on certain fields. But the only reason you need it is because businesses have been tuned to believe that you need that diploma, that you need that license, as I would say, to do that specific trade. I hope, at least in another 10 years, that people accept that college is not necessary anymore. People can get all those resources from the gigantic libraries and all the great lectures. They can get that all online for, if not free, a very low cost. So shouldn't you at least have an opinion on that? Shouldn't you at least have an opinion on why you're paying so much for something that really the productivity is going down? I mean, up. I mean, the productivity is going up. All these services that you needed to go to college for, you can now, you can get full textbooks online for, and you don't even need to buy it. You can, I do it. You can rent online versions of textbooks now. That's a hell of a lot cheaper than having to print each textbook. So that's lowering the cost. Why is it that much expensive? And the answer is because government is insuring these loans. If government started insuring how much you had to pay for, or if they started insuring, you know, I don't know, cell phone payments, like something smaller, the cell phone companies are going to raise their prices because they're going to get the money no matter what because the government is insuring it. So you need to understand that. That is a profound impact on your life on a very early age. You're bound to that. And if you dare to go past undergraduate, like most people have to do now, to a master's, a graduate, and a doctorate, you're looking at $100,000 or more dollars, most likely, if you go to a top school in your field. That's a ton of money that you're chained down to. For why? For what? Shouldn't you at least have an opinion on that? The government is constantly present. Yes, you know, politics is pointless and extremely frustrating. I would never ask you to get involved in politics. But understanding the system is completely different. Having an understanding of the state does not have a political ideology attached along with it. No, understanding the state is an understanding of a reality. A reality that is far different from our own. A reality anterior to the principles of society. Our society, us as a community, not the state, is everything voluntary in our lives. We can choose who to associate with, what spiritual beliefs to hold, what to buy, whom to love. The possibilities are endless. The choices are endless. The combinations are endless. The reality of the state, however, contrarily chooses to not only live under the monopoly of the principle of violence and coercion to solve its problems, but deems it necessary to impose those principles that we would be despicable in our own lives and in our own societies on the rest of humanity. No, we don't need to understand the thief's motives and debate them relentlessly among each other, but we do. We do need to understand if the thief's actions are acceptable or if they are not. Having an understanding of the state is not one of opinion, similar to the games of politics, but rather one of principle. So, I would ask you to not only to ask yourself if the actions of the state are moral, acceptable, or at least justified, leading to your own life, but if it is moral, acceptable, and justified to use the primal concepts of violence and coercion by the manner of a gun to enforce your views and your ideas on the opposed in the remainder of our society. All right, everyone, that is my argument. I hope I hope you really enjoyed it. I really had a great time talking about this. I know it's so impactful in so many people's lives today. So I will be back tomorrow yet again. So subscribe to the feed if you haven't already. You can find me on iTunes as The Christian Mullen Show or on Podomatic.com is where I'm stationed off. That's why I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a great night and bye for now.